3. Real privilege to have all these young people here. And so we're going to do a little something different while they're coming in, being a part of us. We're going to start something that will be, see how it works out. The Lord gave it to me. I'd like to just take one book of the Bible each time we come in. I want to share with you a key verse. And I don't know, I've kind of stretched between maybe sharing two key verses each time. Not, don't hold me to it. I might just be happy with one. But I want to just share, as we go through, we can walk through and say, what is a key fundamental verse from this book? And so I think if we were to choose one verse of all of Genesis, that we really ought to turn to Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15. All right. It's not quite John 3:16, but it's Genesis 3:15. Okay? And this is what we call the first reference to the gospel. I'm going to read it to you, and we're going to explain it. We're going to see what the scope of this verse is. He says, I, all right, that's talking about God, I will put enmity between thee, God's talking to who? He's talking to Satan in the form of a serpent. All right? So he says, I'm going to put between thee, Satan, and the woman, enmity. It means you're going to be a conflict. And between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed, and it, referring to the seed there, shall bruise thy head. And thou, referring to Satan, shall bruise his heel. All right? So here's this element that in the garden, God made man. Everything was perfect, and Satan came in the form of a snake, one of the serpent. God has said that he is going to put a conflict between the seed of the serpent, which is actually Satan, and the seed of the woman, which is actually pointing forward to one individual, which is Jesus Christ. And in this aspect, all the world is divided into two camps. This helps us understand. If you want to know a foundation of the world that we live in, we are living in a battle. From the very beginning, after sin has entered into this world, there is a battle going on between Satan and his seed, which I think primarily is referring to demons, and referring to a woman, which is Mary, and her children, her seed, and it's really a battle between demonic powers and humanity. We don't wrestle against flesh. Satan wants to win. How does he win? He wins just like he does in Genesis chapter 3. He doesn't do an arm wrestling contest with God, because you know what's going to happen? God's going to win. He's not going to try that. He's not going to attack God. But God has a plan in these weak little creatures, humans, and he wants to thwart God at the ones that he loves. And so Satan, his goal is to get men to sin and to fall and to be in rebellion against God. If you want to look around today, all you have to do is look around and say, you know what, there's a lot of people who are on the side of the serpent. Satan wants to deceive you. He wants you to join his side, because you're in a battle. And every aspect of sin is pointing to this. But I want to tell you, Satan is going to have his day. Satan's having his day right now. But there's a day he's talking about here. It says, and it, the seed of the serpent, will bruise the head of a serpent. I'm sorry, the heel of the element of the battle. this serpent, this mighty fang, reaching up. And out comes the heel of the conqueror, and he crushes and smashes into that head of that snake and destroys it. But in the process, that snake is latched on with its fang, and its dying breath is pumping that heel with poison. This is a prophecy that Satan crucified and killed himself. He would seemingly triumph over Christ, but in the very moment of Jesus dying, because he crushed the man who had the power, the Satan who had the power. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. And you know what? The whole world is seen by a battle, but Jesus Christ is already the conqueror. He is the winner. And it's such an encouraging thing for us to see. God has divided between two sides. When God made the earth, he divided between the light and the darkness. He divided between the firmaments, and he divided between the dry land and the sea. He put in the garden a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and everything that God made was good. There was no evil until man sinned. And all of a sudden, things are now divided between good and evil in this world. And there becomes a line through Genesis of those who are the ones who are following God. You have Enoch. Of course, let's start with Cain and Abel. They are divided. One offers a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. He is a part of the light. And there's a brother over here that hates him, and he's a murderer, and he's a part of the darkness. And man, from the beginning, has been divided between those who are following the serpent and those who are going to be of the line of Jesus Christ. And you can trace that from Seth in Genesis chapter 5 all the way down to the 10th. The 7th from Adam is Enoch, and he was translated a figure of the future. But also Noah, the 10th from Adam, is a picture of rest. And everybody in the world was doing wickedness and sin against God. They were all falling prey to the trap of the serpent. And only one man in his family followed God. And God saved them in the ark. The 10th from Noah, 20th from Adam, is a man called Abraham. God raises him up to be a part of the blessing. See, when God made the earth, he blessed him. And when man sinned, he cursed the ground. And now God is restoring through Abraham. There is going to be the line of the Messiah, the seed who is going to come. And the entire book of Genesis begins to trace all of this. Until the end of the book, there are 12 brothers who are the grandsons, the great-grandsons of Abraham. And do you know those 12 sons, the grandsons, that 11 of them picture? Seed of the serpent. And they begin to attack the one whom God has revealed that he is going to be exalted. And they begin to throw him into a pit. They want to kill him. They have the same murderous spirit as Cain. Do you know that Joseph is a picture of the Messiah? And so all of this is bringing it together. And in the end, they crush, in some sense, they hurt their brother, and yet what happens to him? He is sold into Egypt. He goes to Potiphar's house. He's exalted, but then he's lied about. He gets put in the dungeon, and then he interprets the dream for two men, and after 2 years, he's exalted to being the head, and now he's in charge. So he is being persecuted by his own, Jesus Christ. He was going to be persecuted and killed by his own people. But now the roles are going to be reversed, and they are going to stand before the judge who the one they wanted to kill. And Joseph is there. He is over all of Egypt except Pharaoh. And God works it out through those circumstances to show that the Israelites are repentant for what they have done, just like they will be repentant in the last days, and they will be returned and restored, and the brothers are brought together. So the last verse in terms of this is, at the very end, this key important statement to summarize this element that encompasses exactly what this verse is talking about. When Jacob dies and he offers the blessing to those men, they were afraid that he was going to bring vengeance upon them. And he says, I have forgiven you. I love you. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it. You know that Satan means everything for evil in your life? Everything he's trying to do. He is trying everything that's good and beautiful in your life. You know your health? He wants to take that away. You know your family relationships? He wants to take that away. He wants to soil every good thing that God's created. You know your marriage? He wants to twist that and destroy that. Your future, your hope, your children, your grandchildren, Satan is gunning for them. He wants to destroy them. But everything that Satan means for evil, just like at the cross, God is so powerful, he can take everything that is meant for evil and mean it for good. So in the light of this great battle, we don't go off cowering. We're not afraid of Satan and his work, because we have a God. He is victorious, he is triumphant, and he is going. Will you trust yourself to the Savior? Will you be a part of the seed of the woman and the seed of Abraham? Believe and trust in Jesus Christ. That puts you in the light. But if you reject the Savior, and you reject his providence and what God is doing, it puts us in terms of the aspect of we're in the darkness in terms of his rejecting the Lord Jesus. Trust him. Believe him. God will use all things. Work them to his ultimate, which is to bring Jesus Christ to this world, to win the victory. Someday he's coming again. He will be the king. First time he's like Joseph. Sold. Rejected. Second time he's going to call him. All right, that's our challenge for this evening. We've got some words.